Son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. He gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. You know, I'm really happy to be up here this morning. I feel honored to be invited into this congregation, to be asked to share a word from the Lord with you all. I'm not going to lie, it's slightly intimidating. I said this in the first service, but I'm going to say it again now. For the last 3 weeks, you have had three of my preaching professors preach sermons for you. So now you get students, and I thank God for this opportunity. You know, I'm new to New England. I'm what I think would be called a transplant. I was raised in New Jersey, but I've spent a considerable amount of time working all over the place, but most recently in Eastern Africa and in New Orleans. And so New England weather is something that's new to me, and I'm really glad I'm preaching this Sunday and not last Sunday, because I think I probably would have died in the snow driving up here. But thank you for coming out this morning, and I hope together we can hear how God is speaking to us. We all pray with me. Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing unto you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen and amen. Have you ever had to make a decision? You're not sure why you chose to do it, and yet you knew it was somehow the right one, even if you didn't know what the consequences would be? Or have you ever decided to do one thing because it was the right thing to do, but then something leads you to change your mind? I know I have. I mean, we all have, haven't we? It's part of what it means to be human. I'm sure we could spend the next 15 minutes or so talking about the choices we have made in life. For me, my decision to move to New England falls into this category. I had a very good life going for me down in New Orleans. I had friends, I had a good job, things were nice, and I had decided that I was going to stay down south for at least another year, then start looking for some good Presbyterian church to call me as their pastor. But then an opportunity to study at Gordon Conwell popped up. I didn't want to go. I want to make that clear. I did not want to leave New Orleans and go to Gordon Conwell. I did not want to leave the South to come to New England. I like the warmth. But God had placed this strange compulsion on me to do so, and I knew it was the right thing to do. And I fought it. I pleaded. But I was being called by God to make a decision to quit talking and resting in my laurels, and get to acting for the kingdom. In my case, that meant going back to school. I had to keep walking forward. I had to answer the call of God. I had to sacrifice for the kingdom. I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew I was called to head up north to Gordon Conwell. I had to trust God, even when I didn't want to. It wasn't so easy. So I kept walking. I kept walking, and I made a decision. And here I am today, sharing a word from the Lord with you all. And so in this sermon, I'm asking a question. What is God calling you to do? Where is God calling you to go, both as individuals and as a church? How is God calling you to make your choices in your life? It all comes down to this. It all comes down to this. Who are you going to trust? Our sermon this morning revolves around a silent man who made some very loud choices. Joseph sometimes is the forgotten man of Advent. Now, Mary carries the baby. Jesus is the baby. But Joseph is just some guy. He remains quiet the whole time. He doesn't say much. Actually, there's no point in any of the four Gospels, is any word of Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, recorded. In the passage we just heard a few moments ago, Joseph did not say anything. But he did have several choices to make. Choices that would have consequences for himself, for Mary, and for humanity. Let's take a look at some of those choices. Joseph was in his full rights to have Mary killed. It would be known as an honor killing. She was betrothed to him, and in the eyes of the law, they were already legally married. We hear about these sort of things happening today in some parts of the world. She was betrothed to him. And in the eyes of the law, they were already legally married. And she wound up pregnant. And it must have been humiliating for Joseph, his young bride, to be pregnant with a child that was not his. You know, in our sentimentalizing of Christmas, we Christians tend to forget how scandalous the first Christmas actually was. Matthew, the author of our gospel, Matthew, understands how terrible this whole situation was. He gets the gravity of this mess. Joseph had a choice to make. What was he going to do? What was Joseph going to do? He couldn't take Mary into his household. Now, the embarrassment would have been too painful. Can you imagine it? The embarrassment would have been too painful. As I said, Joseph could have had Mary stoned to death based on a passage in Deuteronomy. But here's the first choice that Joseph makes. He chooses to divorce her quietly. As Matthew tells us, Joseph was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace. So he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Divorce Mary quietly, spare her the shame, take the guilt and humiliation of a broken engagement upon himself. Joseph was a righteous man. He knew the law, but he chose to protect Mary by divorcing her quietly. This is what he decided to do. And after he made his decision, he fell asleep. And then he had a dream. He fell asleep and he had a dream. And this dream transformed his life. A messenger of the Lord spoke to him and told him, "Do not be afraid." The messenger of the Lord said, "Welcome Mary and her baby into your house. For that baby was not from any man, but from the Holy Spirit of God." Joseph was to accept this baby as his own, to make him a part of his family, to give this child of God a first name, Jesus, which means God saves. For the promise of this baby is that he will save people from their sins. Joseph gave this baby a last name as well, his own. All this was done to fulfill what the prophet Isaiah had uttered, a promise that God will see to it that a virgin shall conceive and give birth. And that baby Jesus, will save people from their sins. He shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God has promised that this baby who is coming soon will be the God who is with us. His name is Jesus. This is the promise of Christmas. And then Joseph woke up and he had a decision to make. You can't make decisions in dreams. Once dreams come to an end, choices have to be made. Joseph had a decision to make. What was he going to do? No matter what he did, he was going to decide something that would bring hardship into his life, to make his life more difficult. Either divorce his betrothed or bring his pregnant wife to be pregnant with what a dream, told him was the Son of God into his household and to raise him as his own. Sometimes we forget that Joseph did not ask that his betrothed, Mary, be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. He was asked by God to deal with the consequences of Mary's unexpected pregnancy and was promised that things would work out in the end. Joseph was asked to sacrifice for the coming kingdom of God. Joseph could have said no, but he didn't. And so, Joseph made his decision. Joseph was told of a promise, and he chose to believe it and act on it. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He had heard the witness of the angel that this baby was Emmanuel, that God was with us, and that he would truly save his people. He had heard this. He trusted the promises of God, did not say a word, and acted upon them in faith. Joseph sacrificed for the kingdom when the kingdom was just a bump on Mary's belly. Joseph did this. Why not us? Joseph did this. Why not us? Week after week, we hear told the promises of God at church. I'm speaking to myself here as just as much as I am preaching to all of you. Are we just going to sit here and talk about God this Christmas? I'm very good about talking. It's the doing part that can be hard. Or are we going to live like Joseph, as though the promises of God were true, as though the coming of the Christ child actually matters to us about how we are going to live our lives? We Christians are really good about talking about our faith. Some of us do it every Sunday. When are we going to stop talking and start living? What would it look like in our lives if we made a decision to trust God and to trust in the promises God has made to us? I mean, it's radical. It's sacrificial. It's incarnational. The world would be turned upside down. It would be like accepting an unwed mother into our own family and loving her as our own wife and raising her baby as our own. I know what I am suggesting here is hard. I know it's hard because I go through it. Because in our world, how do we act on our faith? How do we act as though we are Christians in 21st century New England, 21st century America? How do we do it? How can we live as Christians? How can we see God and his kingdom in this broken world? I know it is hard, because I've experienced the difficulty in being and living as a Christian in the past. I am experiencing it now, and know I always will. Here's the thing. So will you. So do you. I do not assume anything about this congregation, but this is our common human condition that God has chosen to be born into. How and why do we do it? How and why are we Christian? We do it by trusting that God keeps God's promises. We trust that God's Spirit is doing something new in the world, calling us to something new, just like he called Joseph. But Joseph could have said no. We can say no to God. But like Joseph, we can also trust God and wait for the kingdom to be laid in a manger. We see the kingdom of God in the baby laid in the manger in the filthy stable. We see the kingdom of God in the crucified naked man on the cross. We see the kingdom in the Messiah raised with holes in his hands. We see the kingdom in the eyes of our brothers and sisters in Christ here in this church and around the world. We see the kingdom of God in Lazarus' house. We see the kingdom of God in the sick, the poor, the lonely, the stranger, the suffering, those in prison, those trapped by the pain of their own personal hells. This is where we see the kingdom of God. And we see the kingdom of God in these places because of Emmanuel. God with us and God who saves us. We act on our faith when we accept the promises of God and start living as though they were true in any and all circumstances, even in terrible circumstances. We continue to press on. You know, whenever we enter into the cold of winter, and this is something new for me since I moved up here, because the cold up here is colder than other places. And I'm not just talking about the weather. When the nights seem long and the darkness comes early, I get an old-timey gospel tune stuck in my head. It's called Keep Walking. God Will Make a Way. And if you don't mind, I'm gonna sing a few bars. Is that all right? All right. As a keep walking, God will make a way. Keep walking. God will make a way. Keep walking. God will make a way. He will. God will make a way. Yes. God will make a way. Because he's here with you. When I get this tune stuck in my head, I think of Joseph. I think of our silent Joseph. And I think of the choices he made and the choices we make and the situations we find ourselves in. Keep walking. God will make a way. The baby is just a bump on his mother's tummy. Keep walking. God will make a way. We're wrecked by doubt and questions. Keep walking. God will make a way. We're embarrassed by what others might think of us because we are Christians. Keep walking. God will make a way. We are hurt and broken over past relationships, scared of the future, lonely in this Christmas time. Keep walking. God will make a way. We are happy. We are whole. We are celebratory. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. God will make a way. Keep walking. God will make a way. Keep walking. God will make a way. Yes, God will make a way. God will make a way because he's here with us. We come to church, especially at Christmas time, to hear again the promises of God. I love Advent. I love Advent. It's like whenever the Advent season rolls in, it's like visiting an old friend, right? We hear the same stories told every year. Behold, favored one. Greetings, favored one, in the Gospel of Luke, when the angel appears. And when the angels appear in the sky. And when the wise men come. And when the babe is laid in the manger. These are like old friends. And we hear them over and over again. We hear the promises of God. We come to church, especially in Christmas time, to hear again the promises of God. God promised Joseph that if he took Mary as a wife, the child she bore will be the Son of God, and that Joseph was to name him Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. Not only would this child save his people from their sins, but he would do more. He would be God with humanity, God with his people in a new way. God promised, and God promises that he will be with us and for us. Joseph decided to trust God, and so do we. We decide to trust God. We trust God. The promise of God, the promise made to us, is that because of Jesus, we do not have to bear the pain of our brokenness, the sin that leaves us separated from God. We do not have to bear the pain of our brokenness that leaves us separated from God, because Emmanuel, God is with us. No matter in what way we may find ourselves, God is with us no matter what. Please know that this promise of God is for you. And so, we walk towards the stable, looking for the promise of God, eyes open for the kingdom, waiting for the birth of the Christ child, singing, O come, Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. And we rejoice. We rejoice. Amen.